your CD was an instant, well, first of all, introduce yourselves. Who are we talking to here?
Oh, I'm Anthony Roman. I play bass and sing in Radio 4.
Hi, I'm Greg, and I play drums in Radio 4.
PJ O'Connor, the percussionist.
Ah, the drummer. That means in the middle of this, you're going to combust.
That would be he.
Oh, you're percussion. Okay. So the drummer's going to disappear partway through this interview, because we have to do the Spinal Tap thing. So the CD was an instant play for me the second I got it, because it was, truthfully, and I'm not saying it's in a bad way, it was easy on the ears. It was something that I immediately gravitated towards, because it felt like something I heard before, but it also felt like something new at the same time, whatever the hell that means. So you're not out to make indie sonic noise, you're out to make hits. Am I correct? Or do you want to make any indie sonic noise that, you know, garage rock?
Our previous record, Gotham, I think, was a bit more of a punk rock noisy kind of record. And this record, we set out to do something that was a bit more melodic and maybe, I hate to, not accessible, but just something that maybe had a broader appeal and brought in some of the other influences that we liked that wasn't just kind of noisy punk and stuff. And tried to really write songs and match that with some kind of dance thing and stuff.
Okay, so let's get one thing straight, because I think everybody is going to want to know this right away. You're not British. You're from Brooklyn.
Yeah, Brooklyn, man. We are from Brooklyn.
Okay, so how can people actually admit to living in a neighborhood called Dumbo?
I don't know. I don't live there, and I'm not even really comfortable saying that word.
I mean, my 3.5-year-old daughter watches Dumbo, you know, almost every night of the week, and every time I see it, I'm like, people, honey, people live there.
That's yeah.
A bad one.
It's an unfortunate one.
It really is. It's a good neighborhood too.
Down under
Manhattan
Bridge,
right?
I still
call it Brooklyn Heights, you know.
Yeah.
I guess.
Clark Street subway stop.
There you go.
What's happening in Brooklyn now is just all these real estate people just keep coming up with these new names for everything. Like, my parents never heard of Park Slope. It was South Brooklyn.
Right.
And all of a sudden it became Park Slope.
Yeah.
And they just keep coming up with these things, Cobble Hill Clinton Hill. I don't even know where they are. Washington Heights.
Yeah.
I don't even know what it is anymore.
Things like East Williamsburg,
yeah,
a.k.a. Bushwick.
Yeah. Know? Meanwhile, it's really, to the older people, it's Bed-Stuy, South Brooklyn, and Bay Ridge.
Right, yeah, exactly.
Just roll up the window.
My grandmother lived in Bay Ridge. Yeah, exactly. Well, Bay Ridge, you just have to, you know, that's Tony Soprano country. You just have to.
It's more.
You don't want to be a soul singer in Bay Ridge, let's put it that way. Well, maybe it's gotten better.
Bobby Darin loves Bay Ridge. That's like Bobby Darinville.
Sheepshead Bay, right?
Yeah.
There you go.
That's real South Brooklyn.
Yeah.
Okay, so now that we know that you're not British, the band name makes you sound like you are.
Yeah, because Public Image Limited had a song called Radio 4, and when we were starting the band, we were thinking a lot about them, and we just kind of did the very generic, how do we find a name, because we weren't coming up with anything, and that was on one of the records there. So Keith Levine and Jaw Wobble and Leiden and stuff were pretty big influences on us.
There you go. For those who...
We like Leiden more than Rotten. We like when he became Leiden again. when he was Rotten, it was good, but I feel like John Leiden is the...
So when he became...
Leiden's more of a musician and less of a...
cartoon character.
Yeah.
Yeah, so the P.I.L. era versus the...
Definitely, the early...
Versus
early
the Pistols era.
Yeah. Definitely.
It's interesting because the latest Mojo has a CD that comes with it called Influences of the Sex Pistols, and
yes,
it's kind of interesting to see the. It's not all that exciting. It's, you know, but it's just kind of interesting.
The next Mojo is a post-punk issue, and we will be featured on the CD that comes with it.
It's cool.
New bands that have been influenced by the post-punk movement of the late 70s, early 80s. I think it's us and Hot Hot Heat and. Maybe Interpol and a few other bands from that.
Excellent. So for those who Stealing of a Nation, and you started talking about this, is the first listen to Radio 4, tell me a little bit more about how the sound has developed.
Well, it originally started as a very minimal trio, and we were very into like Wire and, like I said, Pill and Gang of Four and things like that. And then we started getting into more dance kind of stuff, especially like late 70s New York disco, left field disco like ESG and Liquid and things of that nature. And started meeting these people in the city, the DFA, and people who were mixing up dance music with punk. And we wrote this song Dance the Underground, and we decided that we needed some congas or some type of Latin style percussion. And that reminded us of PJ, who was really the only percussion player I knew, had met. And we got him in the band to play on a record, and the sound has expanded, and then we added keyboards, and we've just kind of been growing as we've gone. So I think we're done, though. I don't think we're going to add any more members.
Yeah. It's tricky.
About the brass. We had a long talk about brass. On
brass.
The...
There you go. Little Herb Alpert action.
Bobby Keys, I was thinking of. You know?
I was attempting to be funny. Lead balloon time. So, the sound today. Give me some of the strangest bands you've been compared to. My listeners constantly call up and think that Party Crashers is obviously, duh, the love child of Depeche and New Order.
Yeah. I don't like Depeche Mode at all, so that bothers me.
I like Depeche Mode. But
do you like Depeche Mode?
I'm going to be diplomatic and say that we all love New Order.
Nice.
What's the weirdest band we've been compared to? EMF, somebody said to me.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, and I took that as the worst insult you could ever be.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah, exactly.
Somebody started playing, well, I won't even say who, but a radio station in this town started putting that back in rotation, and I was like, that could have stayed, you know.
Right.
That could have stayed back where.
Yeah.
Exactly. Okay, but despite the party vibe in the songs, your press leads me to believe you've also got a pretty heavy-duty political agenda, too.
Well, yeah, we try and... The idea was to kind of make this rhythmic dance music and then put something more relevant than like, hey, let's party, let's have a good time, lyrically on top of it. And because we come from a punk rock background, we always felt like lyrics should be somewhat socially relevant and stuff like that. Very influenced by people like The Clash and even, you know, Marley and stuff, reggae a tremendous amount, where the lyrics were always had a social content to them. So I know a lot of people think like, oh, you're not supposed to mix that with dance music, but we don't agree with that at all.
Oh, I don't think that's true. I think a lot of the dance music of the 80s did. They snuck in lots of political agendas in there.
I thought it was a very, you know, I actually thought it was a common thing to do, but some people have a big problem with it, so.
Yep. This is, by the way, the bartender thinks he's in the interview, guys, so don't worry about it. We won't edit that out. That's okay. He's having fun.
Yeah.
So you basically kind of took over a space and lived in the studio and kind of let your muse hit you as you were making this record. Is that kind of what I read?
Well, somewhat. We didn't live there, but
you basically booked the space for a period of time. You booked the space for a period of time and said we're going to make a record, you know, during this time. So what was that process like as opposed to, you know, coming in and having the record planned from 9 to 5 and, you know, and the producer comes in and does exactly this and blah, blah, blah. A little more, to use that terrible term, organic.
We wouldn't know anything about that organic thing, really. Well, maybe, I don't know, Gotham, there seemed to be more songs ready in the studio, but you're right, like Nation, when we went in there, the guns were to our heads, like we really need to get this done. You know, we have studio time booked and... I think we work probably best that way.
Where we had this, you know, we could put the money one way, which was not such a nice studio, but we would have tons of time, or we could have got a really good New York studio and been really on the clock, but we didn't want to do that. And now with Pro Tools and all the modern equipment.
It doesn't really matter, does it?
No.
You just have to know what you're doing.
Kind of. It helps. Yeah, definitely.
Because, it is a very slick-sounding album.
Well, it was mixed in a very expensive studio.
Got it.
In several expensive studios.
Yeah.
But, yeah, the other thing about Pro Tools is that if you have a bunch of people who know what they're doing, you can have a bunch of people working on different things at the same time, which is a lot of what we had going on. Mm-hmm. We would have people tracking on one rig in one room and somebody cutting up drums in another room and somebody doing, you know, percussion overdubs in another room. You know?
And then you combine the tracks, and next thing you know, you have a record.
Exactly. Yeah, it's a little assembly line feel to it.
Pass me those drum parts.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Okay, long question, and I'm going into the deep, dark depths here. So you have a track called Death from American Radio, and yet you're about to play a show tonight, sponsored by admittedly one of the hipper Infinity radio stations, but corporate nonetheless. So now that folks like me have embraced your music and introduced it, you're going to have to eventually depend on commercial alternative radio, you know, to help you sell a lot of CDs to the rest of our fair nation. So where does that all stand in your minds? And this is not the hypocrite question. It's more of, I'm really curious because you took the time to write a song about the death of American radio.
Yeah.
And one of the reasons that I am and we're sitting here today and I'm playing your record is because I agree.
Yeah. Well, it's definitely, when we were made, there was an influential station on Long Island called WLIR.
I grew up with LIR, yes.
And that went off the air when we were making the record. And we kind of felt like that was you know, what a shame to people who are growing up now on Long Island or in New York.
Steve, what was Steve? I forgot the big guy on, I forgot who the big DJ was on LIR, but it doesn't matter.
What was
Malibu?
Malibu Sue,
Malibu Sue,
yeah.
Right, Donna, you know, all the 80s stuff, yeah. Right.
Yeah.
That was big on, I mean, definitely on all three of us growing up where we did.
I mean, everybody.
Having a radio.
Well, because you had NEWFM, but that was still a pretty prog rock radio station.
That wasn't for us, you know, it wasn't for the kids our age.
LIR,
you know,
was the K-Rock that they had in LA, yeah.
Yeah. And we took it for granted, and then losing something like that and watching it being taken over by something else was a blow.
Yeah. I mean, it also had gone downhill before that, but it was just sad to see the call letters.
Yeah, I know you guys are being played on FNX, and that's the equivalent of a station that has survived, yeah. Even though their ratings aren't right. All that. They don't blow away BCN or anything else in Boston. They still are, you know, that kind of radio station.
And LIR never was ahead of K-Rock or anything like that, but it just had its audience, and you could hear interesting music. And we just felt like those kind of stations were disappearing, and the personality of on commercial radio was disappearing. DJs didn't have the freedom to play what they want to play.
Exactly.
So we wrote the song about that. Consequently, we put out the record and we go to a meeting and the guy at the label's like, I think Absolute Affirmation, we might send it out to commercial radio. And we're kind of like, yeah, go ahead, fine. You know, nobody's going to play it. Now it's getting played on all these stations. So every time we do an interview, everybody's like, isn't it funny that you have this song called it? And it's like,
No, but I did it to get exactly what I got out of you, which is that it's more a passion for the music that used to be and keeping that kind of music alive versus, you know, the two levels that there are right now, obviously, is commercial crap, and no offense to the radio station that I'm speaking on, but indie crap, you know.
But there's not enough Skelses or Menaces out there in our minds. We need more of you guys.
Yeah. We'll just use that as the ID right there. We'll just cut out Skelses' name.
So it's, you know, if American radio can make a comeback and start playing some of the bands that they've started playing and bands like us, then, you know, that'd be great.
There's a fighting chance.
Well, yeah, it seems like it's making a turn, actually, in the last 6 months, and it's kind of weird, or the last year since...
Well, there's music to play.
Well, you know, all of a sudden, you know, Franz Ferdinand, Interpol and stuff, is you can turn on the radio and hear good
music. If I started this show, you know, over a year and a half ago, I would have had problem finding what I wanted to play. In new music, right. Which is why I started an older show first, and then found enough to say this could work.
So does that mean you're happy with a lot of the releases that came out in 2004?
Yes. Yeah. There's a lot of watch the segue. I'm going to ask the next question, and it'll tell you the answer to mostly what I land up playing.
Right.
What is it with American bands having to become big first in England? The Killers broke
good
over
questions.
There. The Killers broke over there. Way before, you know, Lizard King signs the Killers, you know, I get an import, I say, this is cool, I'll play it. When's it coming out in America? My listeners are calling. And it took how long, Katie, for the Killers, from when we've started playing the Killers, you know? And it used to be that the Beatles didn't feel they made it till they conquered America. And that's what's starting to happen here, because when you talk to bands like even the Killers, they're kind of like, well, great, we went platinum in England, that's 300,000 copies.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Well, no offense, but 300,000 copies does not, you know, so... But
still got a day job with 300,000 in the States, basically.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, you do. So I think the interesting thing is that obviously what has happened is that one of the reasons that you are being picked up here by commercial radio is certainly that over in England, you know, you've released imports and there's stuff you can't get over here that's over there, and that's the cachet. So that's what answers your question of what I land up playing, because I land up playing the delays and I land up playing, you know, a lot of that, you know. I bring a lot of the British stuff over here because, you know, and then the American bands like the Killers are the ones that really do reflect where music, you know, Dogs Die in Hot Cars, you know, where that stuff should be going. And this, you know, I forgot who it was. It was actually these guys, the infamous I Predict a Riot boys who we interviewed last week, the Kaiser Chiefs, you know, who turned around and said, we want to be the Beatles. You know, we came out of Leeds, we have only one single, and... You know, we have a point of view and we have a kind of music we like, and that's who we are. So that's the answer to the kind of stuff I'm playing, is your stuff fit right in there.
Right.
Perfectly. It was a natural, it was easy for me, and that was... And mostly, I immediately called the Basketball Works and I said, these guys are good, I'm going to be all over this record, and just pretty much went through every track and continue to, so...
Good.
Yeah. But what is it with England?
I don't know. Well, I mean,
those
I just...
damn English people.
I just found when we went to England, it was just...
Oh, sorry, Katie.
We went to London, it was a piece of cake going there. Really, just going from playing to 50 people to 1,200 people took very little work. I don't know. I mean, the sheer size of America just takes, it takes much longer to kind of make that grow.
But isn't it also, I'm sorry to say, a taste level that we've been fed a diet in America for the past 10 years of either prog rock, bad pop, you know, and nobody really, until recently when it became trendy with Franz Ferdinand, you know, who led the way, to take a chance on this kind of music, because this music's not an easy fit for anything.
But England's always been like that, always been ahead of the game, right? Punk came from there. Most of the dance and electronic stuff came from there. Things will like kind of maybe happen in America, but they'll break big. You know, house music came from New York, but acid house in England made it a revolution. It's always like that. They're just kind of ahead of the game, and they're willing to take chances because it's a smaller country. It's just easier.
But isn't it a wild trend that, you know, a band from Las Vegas, a band from Brooklyn, you know, so many bands can just go over there, and you need that cachet over there to get played here.
But once you go there, it doesn't seem weird. It just seems so kind of normal.
Yeah, it doesn't seem weird.
I think
there's always been bands that have had to do that. I mean, Jimi Hendrix had to do that,
the Stray Cats had to do that,
the Pretenders.
And the Pretenders, I mean, I was one of the first in Boston, you know, to play Talk of the Town, and when that came out, I was just blown away, absolutely blown away.
You also have a lot of bands that, like The Jam and stuff, who did, who had like 10 number one singles in UK and couldn't do anything here. Some things just won't. They'll just go right over.
I know, but it's because, and I'm not saying they're more open over there, but maybe I am. They somehow embrace a lot of different styles, and we don't.
It's an attention span. Remember,
they move really fast, though, too.
They do. Yeah, the window can close on you.
Once it's gone, it's gone.
Yeah, the window can close on you. But the kids over there, I made the equation yesterday to someone about, like, when we were kids in the schoolyard with our baseball cards, you know, and you're like, oh, I got George Brett, and I got, you know, this player and that player, and people are like that about their bands. You know, they have their bands over there that it's just a different thing than you see over here. People are really possessive about their bands, and they really like to express that they like this band. You see more people wear pins and
it's different, but it's cool that you were able to do it. Okay, completely off the subject. Anthony, you have an essay in the Joe Strummer book.
Yeah.
So tell me a little bit about that.
Well, this kid that I knew that lives in Brooklyn was putting together this Joe Strummer book, and he saw us play with, we were fortunate enough to play a show with Joe Strummer in Brooklyn.
Wow.
And
with the Mescaleros?
Yeah, he had seen that show, and he could tell musically, just listening to our music, that we were fans. And I had the, you know, I'd met him a couple times, so I had these kind of interesting stories to tell about my meetings with him, and it just, it's a really, I'm honored to be in a book because there's quite a few heavy-duty people in there, so it's great. And Strummer is important because, he definitely relates to the common person. It's not just like this, like, intellectual poli-sci degree. Like, it's like really, I feel like he's almost like a punk rock Bruce Springsteen or something. Really can connect with the everyman, and I think it's important that people keep his kind of spirit alive and stuff.
So the band's done quite a few videos already. In fact, I was kind of blown away by how many there were.
I thought of that last week. I can't believe how many videos we made.
Yeah, I mean, for a relatively
unknown band.
I wasn't going to say unknown. I was going to say new, but that's okay.
A ridiculous amount of videos.
But Party Crashers is kind of a very hip animation thing, and some are just performance, and some were done by German production companies, and, you know, so what is the state of the nation on music videos, in your opinion? I mean, you know, you did some fun things, and we've seen some pretty awful stuff. So, you know, and yet you're on MTV, and you're in rotation, and that's all groovy. But what do you think? Is a music video, like the old days, the way to, you know, what's going to sell a record, I guess, is what I'm saying. Is a music video really going to make it happen, or?
It ain't going to hurt it. I mean, if you could put together a good video, I think people, you know, especially younger people, enjoy watching. The only thing I know that sells records is playing shows. That's the only proven.
Isn't that true? Because I'm sorry, we're on radio, but the fact of the matter is, you can put a record in heavy rotation, and there have been many records in heavy rotation. I won't mention the Thrills. Oops, did I mention the Thrills? I'm sorry, did I do that? That, you know, through major record company action, you know, last we checked, they sold like 100,000 copies of the first album, and you're right, playing shows and getting out there is.
That's the only way Radio 4 has ever achieved any amount of success, was just getting in the van or the bus and playing shows.
Hardest working band in Brooklyn. You know.
I think that's how you make
We're not. We slough off.
Definitely not. We'll give that to Interpol. Those guys just tore themselves to death.
One of the New York papers, I love this. You know, it's fun doing your research for these things, called the band the best of the new rhythm whiteys. Yeah. Is this a musical category that I'm missing out on here? I just learned about Krunk because I just saw a film that's coming out about Memphis, you know, rap. I was at Sundance, and I just saw the New York Dolls doc, which is just, you guys got to see it. It's incredible. The thing about Arthur Killer Kane. But, what a story. But best of the new Rhythm Whiteys. It sounds like a new underwear. Yeah. You guys wearing new Rhythm Whiteys?
Does I don't know what
to say. Excuse me, do you wear boxers or New Rhythm Whiteys?
I guess we wear New Rhythm Whiteys.
Is that like blue-eyed soul for the new generation?
Who were the other New Rhythm Whiteys in there? Did it say?
No, it didn't. No, it didn't.
Don't you remember that was the one?
Where was it New York Press or something?
I think it was New York Press. Yeah.
And they seem to be really hung up on us being white. Yeah. It was like, what?
Does Chick 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 get it too? I mean.
They were mentioned. I think they might have got mentioned. Yeah. Chick, 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 or out.
We have no idea what that means.
Yeah, I don't know what that means.
Okay, last thing
we like good bass lines, and we like four on the floor, and we love making people dance.
If that makes us new Rhythm Whiteys than we are.
Yeah.
Okay, last thing I want to do, and we'll do it quickly. I want to make a Radio 4 sandwich. I want to put two of your songs as the bread, and I want to put music in the middle so we can entertain people with music you'd like to hear. So give me two Radio 4 songs for the bread, and you guys can each pick a couple of songs, and then we will do the set. And we have been known to go to the end of the earth to find whatever it takes to do it, and that's the joy of the show.
Appreciate that.
So, Radio 4 tune.
Four songs first?
Yeah.
Well, I think Dancy Underground's the signature Radio
Dance
4
the Underground.
Song.
And then
we should pick something off the
new record.
Give something that doesn't get played that much.
How
about Shake the Foundation?
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, Shake the Foundation. Shake the Foundation. It's pretty indicative of our sound.
Okay, give me music for the middle. Anything you want to hear, and just off the top of your head, and we'll put it together in a set, and we'll have some fun.
There's a favorite New York band of ours called The Fever, who have a new record out called Red Bedroom.
It's in the front seat of my car as we speak.
Is it really? Menace, I'll let you pick the track off it then, but please play The Fever.
As we speak. Okay.
Please play The Fever.
Cool.
I'm going to put a... It can come from any era. It doesn't.
Anything you want. You wouldn't believe the things we put together.
I'm going to put Brian Eno in there.
And, excellent. Just got all his new stuff for
you.
Yeah.
Needle in the Camel's Eye there. Yeah, that Astroworks.
Yes,
there.
That record company.
So that's going to be me.
Can I get one of those? Does that mean I can get
You're
one?
You're on Astroworks.
That's fantastic.
Yes, go ahead.
I'll go with Can. On Iggy Bamiasi, track 4. What the hell's the name of the song?
I don't know.
I think it's
okay, track 4 on the Can CD.
On Bamiyasi.
No one knows Can song.
Yeah, exactly.
I know the song Spoon. I know the name of that.
Yeah, actually, no. You know what? Go with Mushroom on Tago Mago, track 2.
Okay. Anything else? I have more time.
I'd say Future Heads, but I'm sure you're playing the hell out of them.
But
anyway.
That's okay.
Great guys too.
Days and Nights.
Days and Nights, which they just resurfaced because it was on an independent label, and now it's on Warner, so we got it twice.
Hounds of Love, in my mind, is a single of the year.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, it's just fantastic.
It's an amazing remake. Anything else? Something that's totally out of pocket?
We'll put The Clash in there, Complete Control, because we've been working on a cover of it.
Cool, I want to hear that.
It's not gonna
stick around for Soundcheck.
Soundcheck. Yeah.